about deacons and about what they mean to a congregation. And so the 2 weeks are up, and all we have heard are very positive statements concerning them. I'm going to ask the four deacons that have served this congregation for some time to come up with me on the riser here. If you come up, the four of you. These four men have served in so many ways that only the elders really are aware of, but maybe you are in little ways. We're blessed to have men of this age bracket and the desire to serve. And so this morning we're going to add two names to that group. I'm going to ask Jack Campbell to come forward and Johnny Gallegos to come forward as well. I have always believed that it's important when men take the office in the church, whatever that office may be, elder or deacon, that in some way the congregation recognizes the moment when they cease to be simply responsible for themselves and now responsible in a different kind of way. And so I'm going to ask Jack to affirm his willingness, and then we'll turn to Johnny. Jack, do you affirm before Christ, the head of the church, and this congregation, that you accept this responsibility to serve as deacon to the best of your ability, wherever and however service takes you?
I'd be honored.
And Johnny, I ask you the same thing. Do you affirm before Christ, the head of the church, and this congregation, that you accept this responsibility to serve as deacon to the best of your ability, wherever and however service takes you?
I'd also be honored.
We're honored to have them. They're honored to serve. I'm going to ask Walt to come and lead us in prayer on behalf of our deacons.
Will you pray with me? Our glorious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these men that have decided that they would like to take on this position as deacon to be servants for your church. Dear Lord, we ask that you bless them for their willingness to serve. We ask you to bless them as they assume these positions, and we thank you that they are willing to take on the various roles. Grant them the strength through their faith as they take on this role as deacon, as servant, in the various ways that they will serve your church. Our Heavenly Father, we also ask that you please be with their families, especially their wives, who will be a part of this service. These men will need their support and help at this time and in the future. Paul mentioned, as was read today, the importance of wives of deacons. Please bless these ladies, the wives of these two men, and the wives of all the deacons and elders. We would not be able to serve your people without their support. We ask that you bless them and give them strength also. And dear Lord, we are so blessed to have men who are willing to take on these responsibilities. We thank you that they have chosen to do this. We ask that you give them support, give them help, give them strength throughout their time of service to your people. In your Son's most holy name, Jesus Christ, amen.
I've been privileged to to serve as a deacon, and so deacons have a special place in my heart. I can remember back, and this gives my age away, but 60 years ago, good night, when I became a deacon. And the men that I've served with, we have one older man in the group, but the rest of us were about the same age. And it was one of the most blessed times in my life to serve with those men. And I look back and fond memories. I know what deacons can do together. And I know what these men will mean to the elders and to the congregation as a whole. They're not a whole lot different than the rest of us, except they're assuming more responsibility. And in the Lord's church, responsibility is a very special word. I want to look back at the qualifications that are laid down for deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It was read just a moment ago. I want to pick out three verses. And because of the way these verses are listed, as they speak especially to the qualifications of deacons, the more you look at them, the more you realize that these are things that the average Christian, every one of us, ought to be working toward. And so I've entitled this lesson, Shared Qualities for a Strong Congregation. Perhaps more than at any time in my history, the church desperately needs strength within. We're getting to be a unique people, and so we need to be a strong congregation. Look with me at verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. The deacons are begun in verse 8 and verse 9, but holding the mystery of the faith in a clear conscience. I love the word mystery, as the Apostle Paul uses it quite often, especially in the book of Ephesians. And so I want you to turn back with me for just a moment to the book of Ephesians, and there we will see exactly what Paul has in mind when he speaks of this mystery that they are going to hold near and dear to their hearts. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, the Apostle Paul says this, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. But referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. We may call it the gospel, the good news, the New Testament, whatever category we want to place upon it. It is something that was hidden in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1, finally made known in the first century. The second chapter of the book of Acts has the church beginning. The teachings, the blessings that came out of God's eternal plan come to us today in this, the 21st century. We're blessed to understand that what we need to know and what we need to understand about God, His church, His Son, all laid out in the clear writings. I love Paul's statement as he says, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ or the mind of Christ. And so when the very first thing I see is that I need to have this gospel held close to my heart, the mystery of the faith. And then when we look at 1 Timothy, it's not hard to discover exactly why this is so important. Come over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, I believe it is. Yeah, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Why does Paul make such a thing of the new deacons having this qualification? If you look at verses 19 and 20, keeping the faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I handed over to Satan so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. They lost their faith. They lost their belief. And so the Apostle Paul names them. And then come over to chapter 4 and verse 1. You know, I've learned something about old age. And that is, it's getting to a point where I shake so bad that I have to lay my Bible down here. Now, I'm in real serious trouble if my eyesight begins to cloud up. But so far, okay. The Spirit explicitly says that in the later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits, doctrines of demons, by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their conscience as with a branding iron. Notice, seared in their conscience with a branding iron. And then we come back to this qualification of deacons and all of us, that we would hold the mystery of the faith in a clear conscience. Your conscience tells you right and wrong, good and bad. It's one of the most amazing things about human nature, that we have built into our minds this ability to tell the difference between right and wrong. It's a rather foolish thing to say, I don't know right from wrong, because we do. A little child will say that's not fair, and they know the difference between right and wrong, and learn even more. And so this passage, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9, is for all of us. Why is verse 9 so important? Come back with me to the book of Ephesians a moment, and I believe that we can answer that very easily. Come to Ephesians chapter 4. And the Apostle Paul describes here this eternal purpose of God. And I want to start at verse 10 of chapter 4, or pardon me, verse 11. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints to the work of service. You see the word service? That's the word for deacons, diakonos. It's the word for their kind of service. But Paul writes it for all of us. He goes on to say, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now watch verse 14. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in craftiness, in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. We have a lot to do, a lot of work to do as a congregation in our growing up process. But so much depends upon our holding to the mystery of the faith. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1 talks about his life. And he says, I know who I believe in, and I know he's able to keep me till that day. The word know is not the general word for just learning something. It's the word that means to the Greek, I absolutely know beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's no question. There's no doubt in my mind. I know he's able to keep that which I've committed. The more we understand the mystery of God, that which was kept secret from the foundation of the world, ultimately to be made known in the first century, the more we know of it, the more where we stand. And so deacons, as well as all of us, need that qualification. We need to hold fast the mystery of the faith. And then there is another passage that the elders talked a little bit about when we were thinking about the men that we would like to present to you. If you come back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, come up to verse 10, and you'll notice in verse 10, these men must first be tested. These men must first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons if they're on beyond reproach. They're tested before, not after. They're tested before as to their ability to follow direction, to uphold what the church represents. It's before. Well, then that would suggest that this is where you and I join with the deacons. We're all being tested. We're all being tested. Testing is a good thing. I didn't like it when I was in school. The idea of being tested didn't work for me. But as you think about it more fully, what if you pass the test? Then that's a great thing, isn't it? To pass the test. These men passed the test. We can pass the test. I want to give you an illustration of passing the test. This past Wednesday, preached a graveside service for Mrs. Dunn, Jean Dunn. At the very last minute, the family discovered that they were to furnish pallbearers. They didn't know anybody in Yakima. They were from Arizona. And so they called Jackie Russell because she knew the family fairly well and laid out the problem. Jackie got on the telephone and, not surprisingly, found at least five men in this congregation who were more than willing to step forward and fulfill some responsibility. The tests come in so many different ways. This congregation is blessed because we rarely ever run out of people who are willing to volunteer, willing to step in, be it in teaching classes, be it in the 101 things that go on in a congregation that keeps it going, from making communion to simply greeting others, especially visitors. So many ways. Now, the test is not a bad thing. The test is simply that we've passed. Those five men were appreciated. They stepped up. They were passing the test. So many different ways that we pass the test. And so when the Apostle Paul speaks of this, he speaks certainly to deacons as they are first tested and then let them serve. But I want you to come with me to Romans chapter 12. Great passage of scripture in regards to this idea of being tested. So come over to the book of Romans, to Romans chapter 12, and read with me from about verse 5 down through verse 8. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Quite a list, isn't it? You're in there somewhere. We all are. And we're being tested as to how we fulfill our part. Fortunately, that is not a problem with us. The challenge sometimes for the elders is to see things that we can incorporate into the congregation so that you can use your abilities, your talents. There's another passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. I won't turn over there and read it, but I'll tell you. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians in the last part of his writing to them, test yourselves. Test yourselves. whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves whether you're in the faith. Well, that's interesting in light of what the qualification is for deacon. That means that all of us ought to test ourselves. In what way? In what way? Let me give you a single word that sums up your testing of yourself. How willing are you? Willing is a potent word. Willing. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul does not outline exactly what he means by this test. He leaves it kind of open. If he were in the Old Testament, I suppose he would spell out the way you would sacrifice animals. But we're in the New Testament. And so he doesn't spell out the test. But the test is there. And the test is willingness. God doesn't ask about our talents so much as about our willingness. He doesn't ask so much about our past history, but our willingness. And if the willingness is there, then certainly we pass the test. I'll just tell you a little secret. Some of our present deacons never dreamed that they could get up in front of the congregation and say anything that made sense. But here they are. They passed the test. They're willing. It's a great thing to be in a congregation of willing brethren. And ladies, there are so many ways that you're tested, and you can pass the test as well. And so when we look at the qualification, it's important for deacons, for men who are going to serve in this capacity, to be tested beforehand. What they're made of, are they willing? But it's also wide open to all the rest of us. We're tested as well. And I have one more. If you'll come back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, come down to verse 13. Those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. This high standing, where is that at? Where is that at? It's not so much before Christ. He would humble us. But I believe the high standing is among our brethren. I appreciate the men who are serving, now six in number, who are going to serve as deacons in this congregation. I appreciate those of you who are going to class and teach classes. So many various ways that you are held in high standing. But I also like this statement. Verse 13, great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. You know what it means to lack confidence, to not think that you're up to the job, you're not up to the task, you don't mean much, you're just kind of a born loser? Not in the church. Not in the church. We can have great confidence. Great confidence. And that's a worthy thing. We're not too interested in perfection in the church, but we want you to be confident. Confident about what you believe. Confident about your willingness to do whatever you're asked to do to the best of your ability. I think I know by now the two men that I serve with. None of the three of us are overconfident. We know our shortcomings. And privately, we point them out to each other on occasion. I like to point out to Jerry that he's getting up there in years, although I'm a month older than he is. I am the senior elder. But nevertheless, it's a wonderful thing to have confidence, to know what the church represents, to know whom I believe in, to know there are brothers and sisters in Christ who believe the same thing, and that we come together and we have a powerful worship to offer to our Christ. There's one last place. By the way, there is one more thing that I almost forgot. In Romans chapter 16, and I'm not going to read it because it's full of names, too hard to pronounce, but I'd like for you to read it on your own. Romans chapter 16, verse 1 through verse 15. And this is what you'll discover. The Apostle Paul, as he closes out his letter to the Romans, thinks about all the people that specially have served with him. There are probably a pair of twin ladies in the list. There's a husband and wife in the list. There are some single women in the list. There are some single men in the list. The list involves almost every class you can imagine. And the reason that Paul mentions them all is because they had served in some capacity for the goodness of the church. Don't ever doubt whether you are single or married or whatever the case may be. Don't ever doubt your worth to the Lord's church. That's a great chapter to read. Hard to pronounce, but a great message. A great message. I want to say a special word to the wives of preachers, elders, deacons, teachers. You may not realize how important you are. I would like for my wife to have a dollar for every time I had to bemoan on her shoulder over the time I preached, or over the time I served as a deacon, or even an elder. Wives are so important. In one of the meetings with just the elders, we talked about how important our wives were to our success. I underscore that. And so you ladies have a very special work to do. If it's only support, how powerful a word that is. There's one last passage in our New Testament that speaks of deacons. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian congregation, and I'd like for all of you, if you have a Bible, to turn over to the book of Philippians. We need to see this because there's a verse connected to Philippians that we need to see. The letter is addressed to the saints, the bishops, and the deacons, meaning deacons were an important part in some official capacity in the Church of Philippi. But what I want you to look at very carefully is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. May this be our anthem call. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you, that you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. May that be our anthem. May that be what we represent. If you're here this morning, this may be kind of strange to you, the placing of men in an office called deacon. But it shouldn't be strange to you that we think highly of the Lord's church. And our greatest joy would be for you to be a part of the church, to obey Christ's gospel, not ours, Christ's, and to take your place along with brothers and sisters in Christ. All the joys, the challenges, the responsibilities that are there. If there's some way that we can help you this morning in our invitation, would you make it known while we stand and sing?